Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom aleikum, assalamu aleikum, namaste, pak sadnam, sat sri akal, tashi dalek, ho lila tanya wase yake. May everything be well with you as it is with me. In fact, today is my birthday and I'm 59 years old. So happy birthday to me. And I know you wish me well. I guess it's not too bad. I've still got a year to go before I have to claim that I passed 60 years upon this planet. So it's a beautiful sunshiny day outside with blue sky here in the Seattle area. Crisp, cool mornings followed by warm, pleasant, sunny afternoons. What more could we ask? Each day we should jump out of our beds and dance for joy that we see that God has given us another day. Yes, we too often take for granted our existence every day in this world, and it is not a given. It is not something to be taken for granted or even lightly. It is a miracle. Each day that we live in this world of names and forms and names, is a miracle to be rejoiced and for which we should thank God from the bottoms of our hearts. Amen. Now, I'm going to recite the Kaddish for the mourners of the dead, so please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you are close who has died. By doing so, you will bring honor to that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yiskadal v'yishkadash me rabo, bomo di ve'ro kirase, ve'yamlik melkase, b'kaya kon uvyo mekon, uvkaye dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uvizman koriev, ve'yimru omein. Yehe shmei rabo mevorak, leolam ule ome omayo, yisparak ve'yistabak, ve'yisparar ve'yisramam, ve'yisnase ve'yishadar, ve'yisale ve'yishalal, shmeidu kacho beraku, le'elo minko berkeso ve'shoroso, tush bekoso ve'nekemoso, da'amiron be'olmo ve'imru omein. Yehe Shlomo Rabo Min Shemayo, Vekayim Aleinu Ve'alkol Yisrael, Ve'imru Omein. Ose Shalom Bimramov, Hu Yashe Shalom, Aleinu Ve'alkol Yisrael, Ve'imru Omein. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is important that we always honor our ancestors, the people who have walked this path that we now walk before us. For we are indeed composed of them. Their history is now a part of us, and we are their legacy. So we should always honor those who have come before us, those who have struggled to make this world a better place, those who have struggled to give us a good start and a good life. We should always honor them and never forget them. Just as we hope that our offspring will honor us and not forget us, but remember us. Now then, we've been teaching on the Torah for the last 2 months. And when I say that we've been teaching on the Torah, what I'm talking about here is what is the Torah? What is its nature? What is it all about? Not, and that's as opposed to the concept of teaching from or out of the Torah. Okay. I'm going to pause for a moment here as I've got a problem with our room. So I'm going to pause the recording here. All right. Okay, apparently that's fixed. So we'll go on here. So for the past 2 months, we have been teaching on the subject of the Torah. And in our last meeting, we talked a little bit about the concept of exile and redemption. And you may be wondering, well, okay, what has that got to do with Torah? Well, because the Torah is an exile too. And I'm going to read to you now from a passage from a statement from the teachings of Rabbi Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital was perhaps the foremost student of Isaac Luria, the Arizal, the great lion, the greatest perhaps of all Kabbalists. And he lived in the 16th century and taught for about 2 years in the city of Safed, in Galilee. And after the great expulsion of Jews from Spain and Western Europe, which started in Spain in 1492, then the Jews had to leave those European, Western European countries, either that or convert to Christianity. And so many of them left. Those who stayed were largely what retained their Jewishness, their culture, their identity, their religion, on the inside, while they professed to convert to and practice to in Christianity on the outside. These were called Maranos. And the main reason they didn't leave was because they would have to, if you left, it was ruled by the queen and king of Spain, that you would have to give up all of your property. And so those who stayed had pretty large holdings of property and did not want to give that up. And so instead of converting, they converted on the outside but retained on the inside their Jewish identities and religions and practices. And they were called Maranos by other Jews. Now, presumably the Christians in Christian society in Spain were unaware of their Marano status and took them at face value as being Christian converts. But a large number of the Jews in Western Spain and Western Europe did not convert. Instead, they gave up all their property, sold what they could, liquidated their property as much as they could, and then took it with them and left. And of these, in a sense, they became a refugee population. And where did they go? They went to a number of places. A lot of them went to Northern Africa, to Morocco. A lot of them went to, some of them went to cities like Amsterdam in Holland, the Netherlands. Others went to Salonikos in Greece, which up until the Nazis in 1945, I believe it was, when they shipped them, almost all of them, entirely on trains off to Auschwitz, and then even destroyed the Jewish cemetery there. And the others went to, in smaller numbers, to other places. And one of the places they went was to Safed in Galilee. And Safed became the new center of Kabbalism. Okay, Jewish mysticism dealing with the study of the mysteries of the Torah and the mysteries of the Godhead. And I know that really boils it down below what it really is. But anyway, and in that city of Safed were many great teachers, great Kabbalistic teachers, such as Moses Cordovero, and then following him, his student Isaac Luria, for whom who really revolutionized Kabbalah and added a whole new chapter to and layer of meaning to Kabbalah, and really brought to the fore in Kabbalah the concept of tikkun, or spiritual repair, and added to the long-standing interest in Judaism with the concept of the Messiah, and actually added to it to bring it up to a level of fervor that it had not seen previously in history, or very few times in history. And then, of course, he had his circle of students, among whom were Chaim Vital. And now I'm going to read to you something that Chaim Vital said. Okay? And what he said was that, in fact, even the Torah suffers exile. And here's how he explains that. Quote, "Since the day that the temple was destroyed and the Torah burned, its mysteries and secrets have been delivered up to the demons. And this is called the exile of the Torah." I'll read that again. "Since the day that the temple was destroyed and the Torah burned, its mysteries and secrets have been delivered up to the demons. And this is called the exile of the Torah." Okay? The first thing that I want to comment on this, well, and I'm going to read it in parallel, or I guess in the context, or in pari materia, with another statement here that's from Psalms 5:5, Psalm number 5, verse 5. "You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. Evil shall not sojourn with thee." Okay. Now, in talking about these two statements that I've read together, I want to comment first on this statement that Gershom Scholem makes when he talks about the quote that I just read from Chaim Vital about, "Since the day that the temple was destroyed and the Torah burned, its mysteries and secrets have been delivered up to the demons. And this is called the exile of the Torah." And talking about that, Gershom Scholem, in his wonderful, incredibly wonderful book titled Sabtai Sevi, The Mystical Messiah, it's a work of genius, really, in which he says about that, "In fact, even the Torah suffers from exile." What does Gershom Scholem talking about here? What's he referring to when he says, "even the Torah suffers exile"? Well, that implies that other things that are more well-known than the Torah suffer from exile, or it's more well-known that other things suffer from exile. And that's what I want to talk about for a little bit here at the first part of this today's class. Who and what do we know suffers in exile? Okay. Well, first of all, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden. They were driven into exile from Gan Eden. That's the Hebrew term for the Garden of Eden. Gan for garden and Eden for Eden. Gan Eden. So Adam and Eve were driven out. What? Why? Why were they driven out? Because, as we talked about in the last couple of sessions here, last couple of meetings, teachings, they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they did this, the Bible tells us, their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked. What that's referring to is the fact that they formerly were totally 100% spiritual beings. They had no bodies. Why do I say that? Because Gan Eden is a totally spiritual place. It was created before the world was created. And we know this from the teachings in the Talmud. And I'm not going to be able to find it for you right now, the exact quote, but we are taught in, I believe it's the Ethics of the Fathers, Perkei Avos, that there were seven things that were made prior to the creation of the world. And among these was the Garden of Eden. And among them also was the Torah. And among them was the name of the Messiah. Okay? So The Garden of Eden was made before creation. It was a totally spiritual place. And so was the Torah. This place is, if you have a copy of the diagram of the 10 Holy Sephirot, which if you don't, email me, and I will email a copy to you that you can print out on your printer. Because you really should have this in front of you any time that you attend these classes, because almost all of the Zohar is about this diagram of the 10 Sephirot. And it's a diagram of the Godhead. It's a diagram of the supernal form and body of God. Okay, so if you look on the diagram of the 10 Sephirot, you'll see that the top three Sephirot, or supernal lights, holy lights of God, the top triad is Keter, Chokmah, and Binah. And this is the world, known as the universe, the world, or the realm, in Kabbalah, of Atzilut. Okay? And that means the realm of emanation, the realm of nearness to Ein Sof, to God, the highest spiritual level of all the levels in the tree of life. It's another name for this diagram, is Etzkayim, the tree of life. Okay. Now, Adam and Eve existed in a garden, which is this world, this universe of emanation, this universe of Atzilut. There were no physical beings. There was no physical world at this level. And they were attached to the tree of life, which was, we are told, is in its middle, in its center. And this tree of life is the source of all life. And it's the source from which life is sustained as well as originating. And they had firm hold of this tree at all times while they walked in this world. But when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they let loose of the tree of light and grasped onto, meaning that figuratively speaking here, metaphorically speaking, of course, they let go of the tree of life, which is the tree of immortality, and took hold of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in doing so, they let loose of their status of spiritual beings. They gave up that status of spiritual beings and instead became aware of the conflict of opposites that's within God. Now, God was aware of this. And in fact, he says, now that they have eaten of the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they have become as gods. They have become as we are. They have become as gods. They have knowledge of the divine conflict and turmoil that I am in at all times, which I did not intend for them to have knowledge of. But in doing this, they now have had their eyes opened, and it says in Genesis, and their eyes were opened, they saw they were naked, meaning that they saw that they no longer had the glow, the spiritual glow of the armor that was put upon them, and I'm speaking metaphorical terms here. They were no longer clothed in the armor of the holy letters of God's name. And therefore, they were no longer immortal. They were no longer totally spiritual. And so that means that they fell, they were cast out of, driven into exile from the world, the spiritual world of emanation, into a level in the Godhead or on the tree of life, if you look at your diagram, instead of occupying the world composed of the top of the top three Sephirot, Keter, Chokmah, Binah, they fell into the world of Asiya, the world of action, of doing or making, at the very bottom, represented by the single Sephira Malkut, meaning kingdom. So they were cast out of the halls of the palace, of God's palace, where they were considered to be part of God's holy court. They were cast out from there into the fields of the kingdom to scratch around as peasants for their livelihood. And this is all discussed in the first book, Bereshit, known in English as Genesis. And this is the first exile that most of us are aware of. Now, there's another exile, and that's the exile of the cosmos itself, the exile of the universe. The universe itself has been cast down to a spiritual level far below what it was originally intended to be. The first attempt that God had at making the universe was, so to speak, thwarted when Adam and Eve sinned, when they were cast out. It upset the balance in the divine plan. The divine plan of the universe, which had been laid out according to the blueprint of the Torah Kaduma, the primordial Torah that existed 2,000 years before the creation of the world. God had laid out a plan. And in this plan, there was going to be this spiritual world of Atzilut, where he would have companions, Adam and Eve. And as it says in Genesis, God walked in the cool of the afternoon, walked in the garden in the cool of the afternoon, and sought out Adam and Eve to speak with them and commune with them. This was the plan. But when they sinned, when they let loose of the tree of life and instead took hold of the tree of death, which is another name for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then all of that had to change. Because the balance that had been set up was thrown off, and the world was no longer in balance. And so God created a new world for them to live in, a physical planet, a physical universe. And where is this world? This is called the world of Asiya. It exists represented in that Sephirah called Malkut, kingdom. But look how much lower it is. It's a physical universe. It's a universe that exists, that's constructed out of matter and space, and exists in the flow of time. But none of those things existed until God created them. After Adam and Eve were cast out of heaven. Okay. Now, what other things, or who else suffers from exile? The people of Israel. I'm sure you're familiar with this. They've been in exile ever since. They've been in several exiles. They've been in the exile of Egypt when they were held as slaves. Then God rescued them and brought them out under the leadership and guidance of Moses, through whom God led them. Then there was the Babylonian exile, in which their kingdom was conquered and they were taken away as hostages and slaves into the kingdom of Babylon. And then they were allowed to return, and they came back and they built the temple again. And the temple was destroyed the first time, and then the temple was built again, and the kingdom was reestablished by Solomon. And then at around 130 or 135 Common Era AD, if you want to reference it to the life of Jesus, then the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And that's what it's talking about here in the statement that I quoted from Rabbi Chaim Vital. It says, "For since the day that the temple was destroyed," and he's talking about the second destruction, when it was completely destroyed, the whole city was destroyed, in fact, the people driven out, and the Torah burned, because that's what happened. It says its mysteries, meaning the Torah's mysteries and secrets, have been delivered up to the demons. And this is called the exile of the Torah. Okay, so this is what we're talking about here, is the exile of the people of Israel. It's in third exile now. They're in their third exile. And that's the scattering of all of the people of Israel into all the nations of the world out of Palestine. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, in 1948, the state of Israel was founded. And so they have a home state now. Yes, you're right. They do. They have a home state. But not all of the Jews have decided to return there for a number of reasons. One of which is the entire Arab world states every single day in every press release it can get in which it wants to come up in, even if they don't state it in press releases, most of them believe this, that Israel is an illegitimately established state and has no right to exist, and the Arab peoples are, by and large, committed to the destruction of the state of Israel. To, as the president of Iran most recently stated, that Israel must be wiped off the map, wiped off the face of the earth. So, even though it's existed since 1948, it's been existed in a state of war since 1948. Not every Jew wants to go back to that. And it's going to take a long time for that situation to get worked out. In the meantime, the Jews are living in the diaspora, the areas to which they've been dispersed. Many of them, and they find their greatest freedom and expression of freedom here in the United States. Anti-Semitism is making a very strong comeback in Europe, particularly right now in France and in Poland. So this is the people of Israel are still in exile. Okay, what else is in exile? The human soul. Why do I say the human soul? Well, because all of the offspring of Adam and Eve, if you want to say that they're the primordial, prototypical human beings, have come from Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were sent into exile, and that means this physical world. And so that means that every soul that's born into this world in a fetus is in exile, which is another way of just saying that this world itself is in exile, and all of its occupants are in exile. And the human soul is sent down. It is taught by the sages that the human soul is a piece of the divine soul. And God sends it down from on high in the upper worlds down into this world. And so it's literally an exile of God, of a piece of God, into the heart of an infant, of a fetus, actually, human fetus, which it occupies, and then that fetus is born into this world and becomes an infant, a baby. And the whole entire life that human being leads in this world until he dies, that soul is bound to that physical body, and it can be said to be in exile. Okay, what else is in exile? The Godhead itself. What do I mean by that? I'm referring now to the 10 supernal lights by which God has made himself manifest to us in this world. That's only relevant to us in this world. The 10 Sefirot are only relevant to us in this world. It's God's way of manifesting himself to us in this world. It is the Godhead. It's the mechanism by which God brings this world into existence and all of its creatures, including us, and maintains and sustains it. And the means by which he communicates with all of its components. Whether it's his nourishing sustenance called his Shafa, or whether it's his communications to us in our dreams or visions in the night. Okay, it's through the Godhead, which we have diagrammed as the tree of life for the 10 Sefirot. It has been torn asunder. God has been torn asunder. And what do I mean by that? Well, two things. One, the Shekinah, God's indwelling divine presence, his glory, God's glory, or Kavod, these two are the same thing, is exiled from her groom. His feminine side, his indwelling divine presence, that part of God which we are capable of being visited by and seeing, is exiled from her groom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. They started out as one being, Zer Anpin / Zer Nukva, the male and the female principle of child of the father and mother. Okay? And if you look in the diagram of the Ten Sefirot, you will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is located and is symbolized by Sefirah number 6, Tiferet, the heart. Tiferet. Okay, this is the Holy Groom. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Zer Anpin. The Divine Mother and Father are above this, at Binah and Chokmah. Chokmah is Abba, meaning Father. Binah is Ima, meaning Mother. Out of their union came the Divine Child, the Miracle Child, which was androgynous, both male and female simultaneously. But this was split apart into the 6 Sefirot above Chokmah and below, above Malkut and below Chokmah and Binah, and into the 7th Sefirah, Malkut. The 6 below Chokmah, Binah, and above Malkut are Zer Anpin, the smaller face, referring to the male child, and the son, the divine son, the prince, and Malkut is also known as Shekinah, and that's the female child, and she has been taken from the side of Zer Anpin and become Zer Nukva, okay, and just as Eve was taken from the side of Adam, and she has been separated from him, and fallen, and so she's one of her names is the fallen bride. Okay, another way that the Godhead has, and that's exile. She's in exile. The Shekinah is in exile to be with God's holy nation of Israel, so that they're not totally alone. God's holy name has been split apart from a single name, Havayah, into the 10 names associated with each of the ten Sefirot. Or, if you want, down the center column of balance, from Keter, which stands for Yod, to let me get my diagram out here, to Tiferet, which is the upper hay, to Yesod, which is Vav, and to Malkut, which is the lower hay. So God's name has been pulled apart and is no longer one. And then finally, the Torah, as we have just read, is in exile. How is the Torah in exile? Two ways. First of all, the Torah de Atzilut, which is the manifestation of the Torah in the realm or universe of Atzilut, is that Torah which adheres to the aspects of the Tree of Life. That has been concealed within the material garments of the Torah de Berea, which is the Torah that was given by Moses, that was received by Moses from God on Mount Sinai and brought down and given to the Israelites. And it consists of a manual Torah, a written Torah associated with Sefirah number 6, Tiferet, and an oral Torah associated with Malkut. They were given at the same time, just as Malkut, which is the feminine aspect of Tiferet, was just as Malkut and Tiferet were joined together originally, before the fall, before the exile. So too was the oral Torah and the written Torah joined together. But with the exile of the Shekinah, then the oral Torah was exiled with her into the world from the written Torah. They became separate things, two separate things, a written Torah and an oral Torah. And then finally, the Torah is in exile because, as we read in the words of Chaim Vital, since the day that the temple was destroyed and the Torah burned, its mysteries and secrets have been delivered up to the demons. And this is called the exile of the Torah. Now, what is he referring to? It's been given up to the demons. Well, what Gershom Scholem believes he is referring to, no one knows for sure, but what he believes he was referring to is that this is a reference to the interpretations that the Christian church and theologians and preachers are giving to passages of Torah to suit their own Christian ideologies and doctrines. For example, Isaiah 53 is a famous section of Isaiah that talks about the suffering servant. And the suffering servant has always been interpreted by the Jews as being either Moses or Klal Yisrael, the community of Israel as a group, as a collective body. And then the Christians come along and say, oh no, the suffering servant. No, that's a prefiguration of Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, this is just one example, but the Christians over and over go back through, they have this psychological need, this insecurity, that makes them have to go back to the Old Testament and search through it for references that they can distort and claim is a reference to a prophecy of the coming of their Jesus of Nazareth. Well, this is what Chaim Vital refers to as a Torah being in exile, because its mysteries and secrets have been delivered up to the demons. He's referring to those Christian theologians, those Christian scholars, those Christian preachers who are distorting Torah and teaching false teachings out of those distortions as being the demons. That's who he's referring to as demons. Now, I don't view Christians as demons. I want you to know that. Not at all. But that's what Chaim Vital was referring to at the time, or at least that's what Gershom Scholem thinks. In any event, though, the Torah is in exile because we do not have the Torah of the Tree of Knowledge. Right now we have the Torah, we don't have the Torah of the Tree of Life, the spiritual Torah. We are under the Torah of the Tree of Death, the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. And that's about all that we have time for today. And so I'm going to conclude our teachings with that. And I will tell you that we will be rebroadcasting this teaching again tonight at the same location here at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And our next live teaching will be Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the same location, the same room. So, until we meet again, may God be with you. May you go from strength to strength, and may you remember God at least twice today. Remember that it is God whose name has been torn asunder, and it is God whose very self has been torn into pieces and put into exile, and it is God who suffers for you. Not Jesus on a cross, but God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son, and God the Daughter, God, the God of Israel, the beauty of Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, suffers every moment, and He asks you only that you comfort Him and that you work on reunifying Him and reunifying His name, so that that day may come when God is the Lord over all of the world, and when the Lord is King over all of the world, and He is one and His name is one. Go from strength to strength. Sei gesund.